mihi. Ko pānoe mihi atu nei mai te reo irirangi te hiku. O teika, ko tāku kei rua te waia, ko Gerard Hiakita, mai i roto o hokianga self-sufficient solar energy, kai mai ngā tupu mai a papa tuenuku kahore ko atu, no reira kei rua te waia, ka pōwhiria mai. Ai, te rangatira e Gerard, kia ora e hoa.
Atuari e pā.
Ai, ki tēnā ka mihi anō ahau ki te wāhi ngaro, kia koutou ko ngaro i te tirohanga kanuhi ka mihi ka hotu Māori o rara. No reira e Gerard, mai tō tāua a tīmatanga kōrero, ka kōrero mai koe, you spoke about the kaupapa, the whakaaro all behind it, and it become self-sufficient off the grid and also living off the land, ngā māra, as a new kaupapa, the food forest. Nō reira, e hoa, pehā nā te haere o wera mahi katoa. How's everything going?
Ai, tēnā koe pā. Kei te pai te haere o ona mahi katoa. Tēnei waha nō te tau ko te koana, kei te kā tipu, ngā māra, te nahere kai, te wild kai food forest. Nā ota ota hoki, our weeds, they're pumping as well. So, everything's just really lush, really, really growing. And as you know, you helped us get our greenhouse up that weekend. So we got this tin on our greenhouse, and now we've got this beautiful warm climate in our greenhouse to accelerate the growth of our seedlings. At this stage, everything's going well. We're just hoping that we keep getting these little bits of rain, semi-regular rain. And we're always poised to go into drought because we know these days that our droughts are becoming more and more frequent and longer. So just water security is a big thing. So, but for now, te Māori, but it's in our tipu. Everything's going strong, going well.
Ai, kia ora, Gerard. Tēnā kaupapa, I've actually been talking about, I haven't stopped talking about that kaupapa, even my mahi with those young fellas, and we got, the ones we got now were newer ones to the ones we brought over to you last weekend. I sat down, of course, there's Mara Kai's Race Up Gardens behind us at Waitomo, and I explained to them the total difference of the concept and the kaupapa of a food forest, and I used the trees, the shrubs that were planted there when they grow, how it's used for being able to loosen up the ground by using the roots, like how Papa Tuenuku does and still does, using its trees, its native, its large trees, to be able to loosen up clay-based whenua and possibly pan also. You know, that is just how Papa Tuenuku has structured all the plants that grows upon it, i runga o te maunga, in the gullies, you know, all around the forest. They all play a part. In saying that, Gerard, e hoa is that... what are your latest tupus that you've actually put in and start germinating in that brand new hothouse of yours?
Yeah, so before we even got the hothouse going, we'd had a bunch of stuff potted up. And so we've moved a lot of it into the greenhouse. And in there we've got, we have Mexican sunflower, we've got artichokes, we've got lemongrass, we've got some Japanese raisin trees, heaps of veggies, tomatoes, we've got about six kinds of tomatoes, I think, which we're going to put in our mara, our garden bed. So our hope is that our greenhouse, we're going to use it as a nursery. So rather than growing tropical things, we're going to use it to propagate lots of trees because as we expand our food forest, we're going to we're going to need a lot of trees and just, yeah, so I guess like you mentioned the food forest, and be interesting to just talk about what are some of the things that make a food forest special or different to conventional ways of growing kai. The main thing is that we're emulating the systems that nature, that the paiao, that tāne mahuta, i rotu I nā nā here papatuana. So we're emulating, mimicking the systems created by nature, and we're implementing them on our own whenua, but just being more selective about the types of trees, the types of fruit trees we want. So in order to emulate nature, you know, if you go into the Nahere, have a look around, you can start seeing what's going on, observing how does Tāne Mahuta express himself, you know, in terms of like how densely trees are planted and which trees grow the tallest and all of that. So if you go into the Nahere, you'll see that every space is occupied. There's a lot of density. So there's you know, in 1 square meter in the forest, sometimes you can find you know, like 8 trees growing, and there might be 2 big ones side by side, and then a lot of smaller things underneath. So density is one thing. There's a lot of density, and you notice when you walk around in the forest, it's pretty much almost full shade at the bottom when you're walking around on the ground, because all of the, as the light trickles through the canopy and all the plants, they're capturing that sunlight and only just leaving a little bit to hit the ground. And that's, you know, that's not an accident. It's actually that the forest needs a shaded condition on the ground to protect its soil, stop it from drying up. So we plant densely. And also, if you walk around in the Mahere, you'll notice that there's always heaps of litter. Like heaps of fallen branches and leaves, and the ground is just totally covered in mulch, from all the trees around the Mahere. And you know that in itself, as the tree sheds leaves, sheds branches, and they drop to the ground, kei te whāngai I te whenua, kei te whāngai I te papa, e rā, rau, e rā, pika o te rākau. So those branches and those leaves, they fall to the ground, they're not wasted. They're feeding the soil, and that's another thing we do. We always keep our soil covered with mulch, and if we have to, we bring it in, or we cut our grass. We use that. We've got a stand of bamboo close by. We go and take the mulch from. It gathers up underneath, and then we use a chipper and we chip it up, and so we always keep our ground covered, and if we're at the same time we're feeding the soil, we're stopping it from drying out when it's that summer sun really starts heating up. We're doing that, and we also have a succession plan in mind too. So what I mean by that is we plant lots of trees in our food forest that serve a beneficial purpose. They're the companions to our fruit trees and to our other trees. So they might be a tree that can fix nitrogen, so it puts nitrogen in the soil, or it might be a tree that can harvest phosphorus from deep down in the soil and make it available in its own leaves. We have a succession plan. So those trees, they're not going to be there forever, and we'll phase them out over time and leave more space for our fruit trees and other things to take up more room. And that happens in the Nahere as well. If there's a clear, if there's like a, you know, a slip on a hill in the native bush, or if a big tree comes crashing down and creates a big hole in the canopy, then there'll be a whole cycle of succession often on slips. When you see a slip on the hill in the Nahere, ponga is one of the first things to come and colonise it. That's why often when you see, you're looking at a hillside in the bush, and you just see these little spots of ponga everywhere, and they're one of the first things to colonise to move into that whenua that's been cleared, kua horo. And there's just exposed dirt, clay, and those conditions are suited for a ponga. And the ponga, it's like the whenua has chosen the ponga to come in and grow there, and then the ponga while it's growing, it'll create the conditions for then the next tree to come through, and often that's manuka. So a manuka will come through, and then that manuka will be working the soil and creating conditions for the next types of trees to come through, and often that's totara. And then I saw you are back to a really diverse Potokap forest where you've got the rimu, the kahikatea, the kauri, potara, tānikaha, all of those things. So nature has that succession plan, and in our food forest, we've got a succession plan too, and we choose trees and plants intentionally to play that role for a time, and then we phase them out. And then we allow our more desired trees, our fruit trees and things to take over.
Aye, kia ora hoa. There's a part there that I'd like to pick up on when you were saying is that you walk in ki te aotane ki roto o te ngahere, you can see all the broken branches, leaves that have fallen.
Mm.
How do you imitate that in your food forest? How do you imitate getting that, the trees are only going to be young, probably within 5 years, nothing's going to fall to the ground. So how are you going to physically imitate what Papa Tuinuku and Tane has done in the forest to get that foliage and that to the bottom? Course, kei kona anō, there's a saying I roto te tahi o ngā karakia o ngā puhi e meana, e tāmure kei runga, e tāmure kei raro. So what is above the ground is also below the ground. So how do you imitate Papa Tuinuku with that forest mulch in the span of your tree, and how early before you start imitating it?
Kia ora pā, he pāsai tino pai tērā. He tukana tō kōrero. In a forest, so it would take quite a number of years before the trees start shedding branches and leaves and creating that cycle of the trees themselves feeding the soil that they live upon. So for us in our food forest, we want to accelerate that process. So the way that we do that is that we grow a lot of trees that grow really fast. Some of the fastest growing trees around. So I'm talking like eucalyptus and elder. And we also grow some wattles in our food forest. They all grow really fast, and we grow poplars as well, actually. So they're growing really fast, and they're jumping ahead of everything else within the first year, 2 years. We'll probably leave them for a year, 2 years, just let them grow. But then they're going to be getting too big, and they're going to start shading out our fruit trees and stuff like that. So what we do then is we start to prune those trees quite heavily. We prune them, and we take those prunings, those cuttings, we chop and we drop them. So we take those prunings, we put them, lay them down on the ground around our trees that we think need that, and where the soil is, feed that soil.
Mm-hmm.
That's how we start that process. And some of the trees that I'm talking about, we call them biomass trees because they're there. That's their main purpose, is to create biomass. Just create branches and leaves that when we need to, we can come and chop and drop and put on the ground. And at the same time, some of these are nitrogen fixing, so their root systems can actually take nitrogen from out of the atmosphere. So it means that if your soil is nitrogen deficient, you can use certain plants that are nitrogen fixing, and they'll take that nitrogen from the atmosphere itself, from Rangi Nui, and then they put that, they connect it to their root systems with the help of some bacteria. And so not only our biomass trees, they're creating our chop and drop, our prunings, our branches and our leaves, which we lay down on the ground, but they're also penetrating the soil, opening it up, bringing in all the beneficial bacteria and fungi. And when you if you think about a rākau, it's kind of like what you see is just a reflection of what's underneath. So, you see a tree with a big crown, a big canopy. Underneath, you can kind of imagine that it's got a similar shape. So its root system is down underneath to a similar size. So there's all of that root system, pakiaka, all down there doing its thing and improving your soil. So we accelerate the ability to take material from our trees by growing fast-growing trees, and then we put that on the soil. And the good thing about that is that it means that we don't have to go and purchase external resources. Like, we don't have to go out and buy a fertilizer because our trees are creating the fertilizer right in situ when we chop and drop, which means we don't have to use all that petrol or fossil fuel, expend carbon dioxide, and we go buy it, and then we have to buy a product wrapped in plastic, and then we have to, it's probably got some chemicals in it, and bring that back. So we don't have to participate in that system. And so what the system we're talking about, it's more empowering us with our own rangatiratanga, so we're not having to go out and buy stuff from other people. We're actually creating it on site. And so within a year or two, we'll start chopping and dropping our trees. But we've planted a whole lot of grasses and small plants, which you've seen here, Pa, and we're actually going to go through probably today or tomorrow and do our first chop and drop of those grasses. So it's not only with the branches, but also the low-growing grasses. We've got clover, oat, plantain, kupa kupa, a whole bunch of seed mix that's grasses and small little plants, and we're going to go and chop and drop those. And they're going to do the same thing. When we chop them and drop them, they're going to feed the soil, and then they're the type of plant that'll just grow back again.
Aye, kia ora, kia ora.
So we can do it multiple times. Yeah.
Kia ora, te rangatira e Gerard. E mihi a tōna hoa mō tēnei wāhanga kōrero o Taua. You being able to share, I'll always be here to give you a call and get an update, so the people out there can hear what you've been doing, why you do it, and all things like that. Nā reira, a kōrero noa Taua, he nara e Gerard, mihi mai.
Kia ora, pā. Nā mihi.
Ai, kia ora hoa. Until we call it again, kia pai tō rā, kia koe me tō whānau, me o hoa, kai mahi, anō kei kona hoki, Māori o rara.
Māori o rei pā. Kia pai tō rā.
Kia ora rā. Ai, kia koutou whakalongo mai rā ki te manuhiria pā, a te rā ko Gerard Heakita, living off the grid, being self-sufficient, rongo mai rā koutou, ko oti te greenhouse, i reira a mātou ngā tāne o te waiora i te wiki ko pahuriaka nei, ko pānoe mihi atu nei rā Māori ora.